to speak to us through those readings. Amen. Let's just remind ourselves just a couple of those words. Whoever claims, this is from 1 John chapter 4, verses 20 and 21, whoever claims to love God yet hates a brother or sister is a liar. Anyone who loves God must also love their brother and sister. So I'd like to say what I'm going to talk about in this short talk, so that you know in advance. It's always good to know in advance what's coming, isn't it? You can prepare yourself, decide whether it's twaddle, and you can ignore it. It's always good to know what's coming. So during this sermon, I will explain that we need to love our neighbour, particularly those we have nothing in common with. And then I will ask you if you will do that, if you will commit to doing that, loving the people around you that you have very little in common with. And secondly, I will explain that we must love the people around us who share our lives, share our beliefs, maybe even share our blood, the people who broadly share our values. And then I will ask if you will do that and commit to that. And finally, I will explain the implications for us in loving God and growing in our relationship with God. And I will ask if you will do that and commit to that. So, 1 John 4:21. Anyone who loves God must also love their brother and sister. I heard it said once that you should never dislike another person until you have walked a mile in their shoes. Now, if you think about that, it's a very good piece of advice, because inevitably we will dislike some people, but at least we'll be a mile away from them and we will have their shoes. There's a positive in every circumstance, isn't there? Now, I think disliking people is an inevitability. Some of you will warm to me and some of you will not. It will be difficult for some people to put up with me for a whole hour. I can appreciate that. This is life, isn't it? But we are called to love our brothers and sisters. And we are called to love those we have very little in common with. Now, this type of love is a pursuing goodwill towards our neighbour. And it takes effort. The people around us, many of them do not share our values, possibly the majority. And we are called to have a pursuing love towards them. I suppose that's why we've opened that little shop, to try. But this is what we're called to do, isn't it? To get out there and love people. And in particular, the people we have very little in common with. And so I will now do what I said and ask you, will you do that? Will you commit yourself to doing that in your life? It will take effort. It will take visiting. It will take a certain amount of awkwardness and pain when you put yourself out there, and inevitable rejection at certain points. But will you do it? Will you love the brother and sister that you have very little in common with? Even the one you dislike? Jesus says this extends to loving our enemies. And it takes effort. It doesn't mean shying away. It doesn't mean giving up. We are extremely good at that and well practiced. Will you commit to a different way and love the people you have little in common with? If your answer is yes, and it may not be, if it isn't, I suggest you dwell on this because it's crucial. If you cannot do it, there is no hope for you. No hope. This isn't a possible option. So if you cannot do it, stop at this point and rest on it and wrestle with it, because it's what God is calling you to do. But if you can do it and you will commit to it, don't worry, it gets worse. There's another stage. You must love your brother and sister. But this time, the one that you have an awful lot in common with, the ones you are close to. I have a question for you. It's a slight distraction. But if you found yourself single, would you date? Now, some of you are single, I appreciate that. But would you be willing to date somebody? Now, I know that if Anne passed away, I couldn't last, well, I might be able to last 3 or 4 days without marrying again, but it'd have to be quick, because there's no way I could survive in this world without help. But would you date? So turn to the person next to you, around you. If it's not too embarrassing, just say, would you or wouldn't you? Good. Have a quick natter. Would you date? If you found yourself single and someone asked you on a date, or you asked someone, would you do it? Enough. Enough. I washed my hands of that. Well, that was a quick conversation. I'm not sure you're all honest. I was honest. Nowadays, when people date, they go online, don't they, to meet somebody. That's the most common way, isn't it? That's what people do. They swipe left or swipe right. I don't know what they do. And then they meet someone, and they go on this date. And they normally go to some very public place. It's not a sort of romantic thing particularly, but you want to go to a safe place where there's other people and you can meet the person and see if they're a weirdo. Yeah, that's what you want to do, you see. Now, on the way home from here, I go past Shepton Mallet and there's Whitston's Fish and Chip Shop. Have you seen it? Yes. Well, if you go in there, I can assure you that's where they meet. It's brilliant, because Anne and I go in there occasionally and sit down and have fish and chips. You would like it. Friday night, we're on. I see them go in there, and they have these polite conversations, you see, and it's a cheap first date, isn't it? And it's very public, so it sort of works. I think it's quite a good idea. Anyway, I can't remember, it was the last time we went to a service here, but we went in there on the way back home. And sure enough, a couple of there, he's very well turned out, good physique, about 50. Very smart guy. She was very, she had a lovely tan and was wearing a very summery dress. And they sat just next to where we were sitting. And the conversation started, and then he fell to silence. And so would I have. Because apparently, everyone this woman knew, the people at church, I kid you not, the sister, the brother-in-law, the cousin, the work colleagues, they were all awful. And you knew that if you came back in 5 years' time and these couple got back together as a couple, she'd be saying how awful he was as well. You knew it. You knew what was coming. Everyone this woman knew was awful. In the end, I just wanted to move. Really, I wanted her to move. Because it was doing my ears in. I was only trying to eat my chips. We are called to love our brothers and sisters, especially those that we have a lot in common with, our Christian brothers and sisters. Now, it is an inevitable part of life that they will come to different conclusions than we do. They will believe very different things than we do. It's part of the deal. I tell you now, when you and I arrive before the throne of grace, and we are there with the Lord God Almighty, we will have many, many, many things wrong. And they will be right. And we will be wrong. This is the deal. And on other matters, we will be right and they will be wrong. This is the deal. We won't have got it all right. Or do we really expect to arrive before God and him say, yes, this was the one who had it right. All you lot, mistakes. But this, no. That can't happen, can it? We will have made radical mistakes, misjudgments. Our doctrine will be wrong. Our arguments, our thoughts about good conduct, they will have been honest mistakes wrapped up in there. And we will expect grace and forgiveness and love and compassion and welcoming in. And the deal is that we must, in this life, be like that to the people around us, who actually we've got an awful lot in common with. There are just some areas where it's not quite right. Do you see? We are called to love our brother and sister who actually we have bagloads in common with. But we've allowed these things to blow up and take over. And we end up betraying our faith, betraying them. We end up closer to Satan because we become accusers. So I ask you a question, the same question I ask myself. Will you love the brother and sister you have so much in common with, but you've fallen out about relatively small matters? Will you do it? If you will not, there is no hope. It is a journey we must make, however uncomfortable it is. We must make it. Believe you me, I struggle with some of my Christian brothers and sisters. I don't understand them. Won't it be embarrassing if they are right? Won't it? I hope we both enjoy grace. We must love each other. We must. Finally, we must love God. Now, what must we do to propagate that love, a healthy love? Let's get to the meat of this sermon, you might say. How must we progress in a life-changing way, a world-changing way? This eternal stuff, what must we do? You've told us we must love our brother and sister who we have little in common with. We must love our brother and sister who actually we've lots of common in common with but have some dodgy areas. How do we really love God? Have you heard the expression, if you look after the pennies, the pounds, say it, will look after themselves? You all know it, don't you? If you look after the pennies, the pounds will look after themselves. If we love our neighbour, we will find loving God has looked after itself. That's the deal, he says. If you do this for the least of my brethren, you do it for me. So much as a cup of cold water. I refuse to dwell on the love of God this evening. So important, does Christ state it, that we must love our neighbor to achieve the love of God. We must. There is no hope unless we do it. And that's what he calls us to. I am utterly certain of it. All that remains is whether we can commit to doing it and get on with it. Can you?